I think there's a leadership opportunity for the profession. It's pretty exciting that in this world of fake websites, imposters, a lot of distrust, that we're making a step to have a restricted, validated domain.
Hey gang, welcome back to Future Proof, episode number 113 to be exact. I'm Bill. Good to be here. Good to have you here with me. Let's get this party started, shall we? And it's not a party until the Business Learning Institute shows up. This show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. Okay? Okay. Let's talk about your website, your domain name specifically, your top-level domain. To be even more specific, top-level domains, they are the they're at the highest level of the hierarchical domain name system of the internet, which doesn't mean a whole lot. So let me try that again. Anything that comes after the dot in your domain name, okay? For instance, I work for the Business Learning Institute, and our domain name is blionline.org. Org, in this case, is our top-level domain. Okay, so that's the boring part of the podcast. Here's where it gets interesting, at least interesting to me. There are seven original top-level domains, which were created in the early days of the internet, right? There's .com, of course, .org, which is primarily used by nonprofits, .net, .int, which is limited to organizations, offices, and programs endorsed by a treaty between two or more nations, .edu, .gov, and .mil, which is for divisions, services, and agencies of the U.S. Department of Defense. So those are the original seven. Since then, man, this thing has exploded, okay? There are top-level domains for pretty much every country on Earth, like, you know, .us for the United States, for example, or .uk for the United Kingdom. But then let's look at what's happened since then. There's a top-level domain for almost any industry or profession you can imagine, right? There's a dot actor for, you know, actors. There's a dot beer and a dot vodka and a dot wine. No dot whiskey or dot bourbon, though, disappointingly. There's a dot Christmas, but sadly no dot Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving way more than Christmas. That's just who I am. There's a dot dog, but no dot cat, as it should be, in my humble opinion. But, you know, I'm a dog person, biased and all. This is kind of cool. Johnson & Johnson has its own domain, which is .baby. likewise, there's a .amazon and a .apple and a .google. There are .diamonds and .dentists, .family and .faith, .guitars, .legal, .makeup and plumbing. Actually, check that. There's a .makeup and a .plumbing. There's no .makeup and plumbing. That would be weird. Let's see what else. .tattoo, .science. There's a .website, which seems a little redundant. There's a .sucks, which is set aside for sites that are dedicated to gripes and complaints, which brings up an interesting point, by the way. If you own yourcompany.com, should you also own yourcompany.sucks? Might be worth a few bucks to get that baby secured before somebody else does. Food for thought. There's a .sex, although hopefully you're not using that one, but it is available. Just in case, you know, there are, let's see. And those are, by the way, those are just the English language domains. There are a slew of others in other languages. And more to the point, as it relates to our profession, there's a .money and a .tax. and a dot finance and a dot financial. And yes, even a dot accountant and a dot accountants, plural. But now, CPAs, it has finally arrived. That's right. There is now a dot CPA. And this is one you definitely want to pay attention to because this one is different than the rest. Like everything else with our profession, there are elements of verification and trust embedded in dot CPA that don't exist in other domains, including .com, right? This thing has been in the works for a few years now, and it became official on September 1st. That's when it was launched by the American Institute of CPAs and CPA.com, which is the technology arm of the AICPA. And that brings me to my guest this week. He is Eric Askerson. He is president and CEO of CPA.com, and he and I are going to spend some time talking about why the world needs another top-level domain, because in this case, it does, and why you need to seriously consider securing yours now, because there's never been a better time than now. We'll get to that conversation here in just a moment. First, here's what caught my eye this week. It's an article from the Washington Post titled "The Cybersecurity 202, Internet Domain Names Are Ripe for Scam During the Coronavirus." The article was reported and written by Tanya Riley, and here's what she writes. She writes, quote, "Companies, including GoDaddy, are making it easy for criminals to scoop up websites for dangerous coronavirus scams, researchers say. The domain registrars have done little to prevent the sale of dozens of internet domains with the potential to spread hoaxes related to COVID-19. A three-month investigation by the consumer watchdog group Digital Citizens Alliance found scammers could use these websites to disseminate false information about the pandemic that could result in things like identity theft and the distribution of fake or unauthorized medications, consumer advocates say. Quote, researchers at the internet safety nonprofit say that between May and July, they were easily able to purchase coronavirus-related domains such as getcoronavaccines.com, freecoronavaccine.net, and bleachcoronaviruscure.com from registrars including GoDaddy, domain.com, and Google Domains. And the article adds, there is no available government-approved vaccine for the coronavirus. By the way, the article goes on to say, quote, Google prohibits using domains for illegal or unlawful purposes, Google spokesperson Alex Krasoff said. Digital Citizens researchers also were able to purchase domains that could be used for scams from resellers who make a profit by acquiring already registered domain names. In one instance, an agent for the site Domain Agents offered to broker the sale of the domain name coronavaccine.com to Digital Citizens researchers, even after the researchers made it clear they wanted the domain to sell a non-existent cure. Domains found by Digital Citizens researchers are just a fraction of those registered since the start of the pandemic that are ripe for a scam. Researchers at Checkpoint found that since the beginning of the year, at least 114,219 new virus-themed domains have been registered, over half of which were registered by GoDaddy. While not all the domain names are fraudulent, Checkpoint researchers noted in March, coronavirus-related domains were 50% more likely to be malicious than other domains registered in that time. End quote. Which brings me right back to .cpa and my guest this week, Eric Askerson. This domain, .cpa, is designed to prevent that type of fraud, right? It's verifiable. There's an element of trust built into it so that if somebody's website says .cpa, you know there's a CPA or CPAs, plural, in charge. We've built this profession around the concept that we are trusted business advisors, and our internet domains should reflect that. And you know what? .com just doesn't do that. .cpa does. So here with me this week is Eric Askerson. He's president and CEO, as I said, of CPA.com. He's going to explain the whys and what's, the ins and outs of .cpa. And man, if you're a CPA or you work for a CPA firm, the stuff is important. It involves your brand, your SEO, your marketing, but more importantly, the trust and integrity you've built with your clients and customers. Here is my conversation with Eric Askerson. Eric, thanks for your time. Thanks for being here again. You're one of our few returning guests, so I'm glad to have you back here again. So .cpa, what's the deal here? First of all, I guess my first question is, why the need? I mean, you know, most firms have a .com domain. Isn't that good enough? I mean, why this new thing?
Well, hey, Dan. Hey, Bill. It's great to be here with you, and thanks for having me on again. Great question. What's going on online, and why are these new restricted domains so important? And there's a lot of key drivers here. The governing body of the internet is ICANN, and they are well aware that there needs to be increased security and better controls put in place related to the internet. And what we're talking about with .cpa, in many ways, is internet 2.0. What happened a few years back is there was a number of top-level domains that started getting released through the ICANN approval process. And we applied for .cpa many, many years ago. It takes a long time to get one of these new top-level domains. And I'm sure, you know, many of the listeners are familiar with these. You have .aws, things like .chase, .microsoft. There's other restricted professional domains, .bank and .pharmacy, and we can get into those. But what is occurring is that .com does not have any, you know, validation of who is getting the .com URL. There aren't any controls in place. And what people are looking for online is increased trust and increased security. And that's what .cpa is going to do. It's a restricted domain. Only licensed firms and licensed CPAs will be able to get it. And it's going to have better security practices than .com. And one of the primary things it's going to stop is phishing and spoofing attacks. Mm-hmm. Because anybody can go register a .com address. You can register an address that has a misspelling of some other company's name. And that's how these spoofing and phishing attacks occur. And just recently, one of the members of Shark Tank, Barbara Corcoran, her bookkeeper was spoofed by an email address that was very similar. Mm-hmm. To Barbara Corcoran, requesting a transfer of some funds. And these are the things that shouldn't be happening online. And that's just one of the examples of what .cpa is going to be able to do related to firm client communication.
Yeah, these folks are getting they're pretty crafty in the way that they spoof folks online, and it's sometimes it's really, really hard to tell the real stuff from the people who are ne'er-do-wells out there. How can these things work together? So, like, you know, as I said earlier, most firms out there have websites, probably .coms of some sort. How does .com and .cpa, how do they work together? I mean, is there a huge change here, a huge lift for somebody who has a .com domain and then now they want a .cpa? How does that all kind of work together seamlessly?
Well, we've put a lot of effort into the rollout process. So that's right now we are rolling out .cpa. We're in this early application phase that started September 1st and goes to October 30th. And we thought a lot about how with domain industry leaders. We're leveraging a lot of best practices here. There's been a lot of other new top-level domains launched, and we're following the best practices around a professional restricted domain. But in this early phase, we are thinking about a transition path for a firm that has a .com URL. And what you will be able to do if you apply during the 60-day period, is be guaranteed that you will receive your existing .com URL in .cpa. And that we think is very important because there's been a lot of, you know, digital brand equity built up, and we want the firms to be able to transition that to .cpa. We know firms are going to be interested in other domains, so there's a process to apply for additional domains, and we have a logic-based criteria that will help us with the award process, and that's all going to happen by no later than the end of October, early November. And then you're going to move into those firms that receive these new .cpa domains into the transition phase. And we've also thought about that. And what we're asking firms to do is just initially have a redirect to your .com or whatever your address is. Maybe there's some firms on .net, but mm-hmm. to have a redirect from your .cpa URL. Let's just say it's Sheridan. You were Sheridan.com, now it's Sheridan.cpa, to have a redirect. And then during the first year, move to migrating to your new .cpa domain. And I can talk in a little later about, you know, some large firms are thinking about SEO, and clearly there's proper steps to take to make sure you don't impact your SEO, and actually your SEO over time will be enhanced through .cpa.
So, I mean, so back to this notion of security, it sounds like there's an element of trust built into this as well. I mean, you go to a website that's, you know, yourfirm.cpa, it's almost as if you're a member of the public, that's kind of a signal that you can trust that this is a legitimate CPA firm. Was that kind of one of the driving forces behind this movement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's the three driving value pillars are trust, increased security, and it's a great branding opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it is that trust element where we are verifying that you're a licensed firm or a licensed CPA. We're also taking steps to make sure that these are, you know, marketing terms that are not misleading or inappropriate. Clearly, it's not a big concern of mine. Your digital presence is more important in today's world than your physical presence. I mean, in the old days, you know, what you had to have that office environment, but now your digital presence is the most important element related to connecting with your clients. Mm-hmm. So there is this element of trust, and we are doing that verification process. And if for some reason, a firm or an individual loses their license, there's a process that we have around that. So the marketplace will be confident that when they're interacting with someone with a .cpa email or a .cpa website, that they're a licensed, validated firm or individual.
Let's talk pricing for a second, Eric. What does this thing cost?
Well, regarding pricing, I mean, as I've been saying, this is a restricted domain, and what we were able to do is to make the pricing competitive for in relation to other restricted domains. .bank and .pharmacy, they're actually over $900 a year. And we're rolling .cpa out at $225 a year.
Wow.
So I will say that's higher than .com, which is basically a commodity service where there's no validation and no requirements around best practices. And so that it is higher than .com, and it's lower than some of these other industry professional domains.
But again, when you look at what you're getting for it, the enhanced security, the trust factor, all those things kind of rolled into it. There's kind of a cost benefit type of action at play there too.
And Bill, one other thing I could, because that's the standard pricing for 2 or 3 letter URLs. There is premium pricing, and the reason why we put premium pricing was one to keep the standard pricing lower. But most URLs will follow that standard pricing. But for 2 or 3 letter URLs, it's $690 a year. And there are no 2, 3, and 4 letter URLs available on .com. If you and I wanted to buy one today, Bill, it would cost us thousands. So it's still, if you want that short URL for marketing reasons, and probably a lot, there's a lot of interest in those. Great. There's a lot of inventory here on .cpa, and we're gonna be able to support those firms that want to have one of those premium, as well as a firm that would want, like Sheridan.cpa would fall under standard pricing. And then there's some geographic terms and industry terms that all also fall into that premium category. So I think we've covered this now in detail.
Yeah.
The pricing element.
First steps, Eric. How do we get started in activating this thing?
Well, you can go to domains.cpa for all of the information. So it's domains.cpa is where you actually find some background documents, the FAQ documents. There's really a really good 6-page position paper that we've put together that explains a lot of what you and I have been talking about today. And that's where you can apply during this first phase, which runs, as I said, the end of October. After this first phase, we then are just going to move into a limited registration period, where when you come to the site, whatever if you are eligible, you will be able to immediately register and purchase the .cpa URL. So we'll be moving out of that phase where we're allowing you to get a guarantee that you can register your .com. And also using some logic-based criteria to give you the ability to get other URLs that are close to your existing URL today. So what I would advise, and I've been advising a lot of firms, is take advantage of this early application phase so you can get the best possible digital brand on .cpa. And then if for some reason, if you don't take advantage of this, there will be this next phase, limited registration phase for firms. And then come January, we're going to go into general availability. And that's when it's going to open up to individual CPAs. So if we have an individual CPA that's in business and industry that just wants to also have a .cpa domain, they're not a firm, they'll be able to apply in January.
Gotcha. Okay. So a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned SEO or search results. So how is this going to impact those types of things? What can firms expect in terms of search results when it comes to, utilizing this new domain?
Well, I think they're going to find that this is a domain that's going to give them great SEO results. With that said, there's always that when you're changing your company name. So say you've got a new company name, you got a new URL. There's actually a process that Google published many, many years ago, because this is very, very important to many people. You spend a lot of time with your search engine optimization strategy. There's some great experts out there that advise firms on how to do that. And then if you are going to change, Google realizes that people change names. Companies change names. They change their website. So you can change your website in .com, and you can also go to a new top-level domain. And Google actually is spending hundreds of millions of dollars buying new top-level domains. So they're all over this mm-hmm. this new Internet 2.0. So long-term, to answer your question, it is clearly, even in the short-term, going to be a better spot to be in for firms. But you do need, if you've put in place a lot of search engine optimization, then you need to follow the published steps that Google has put out there So you can leverage your current SEO as you move to this new domain. We're going to have a special, you know, webinar just on this. This is more of a large firm issue than a small firm issue. And this is something that it is one of the top questions. And we're going to be engaging with some of the marketing leaders around firms to further discuss this. But if you think about something like .jobs or .realtor, I know, you know, realtors out there, you search their name and they were just in .com and nothing comes up, and then you put them in .realtor and you look for a real estate agent in a particular area, and they actually it's turned out very well for them from an SEO standpoint.
Okay. All right. So more to come from you guys at CPA.com and the ASCPA's terms of resources for how folks can take advantage of that from an SEO perspective. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. I think, as I said, I think this is there's many firms that probably have not put together SEO strategies. We will clearly advise firms on how to, you know, follow these steps when you're moving from one URL to another URL. So you leverage your historical SEO in your new site. I mean, so this is something that big companies change their URLs. So this is something that can be done. Moving to a new domain does take some effort, though. It takes effort, but it's not something that is too much of a burden. But there's some steps required. But I'll tell you this: there's lots of energy and interest. I could name a lot of firms here, small firms that are excited that they will just be advertising with something like Sheridan.cpa. It basically, you tell people who you are when you give them your URL.
Yeah, I was going to say, so speaking of what you've been hearing, I know you and the ASCPA just launched this a couple of weeks ago being maybe the beginning of September. What are you hearing from folks around the profession at this point about this endeavor?
I was just, you know, presenting to the AICPA board earlier today, and just to share this data point. But the interest level is extremely high. There was a member on the board who said, there's been so many ASPA, you know, initiatives over the years. And he said, this initiative is one that from all size firms, I'm hearing so much about. I think this is a leadership opportunity for the profession. It's pretty exciting that in this world of fake websites, imposters, a lot of distrust, that we're making the step to have a restricted, validated domain. So I think that's at a macro level, macro professional level, a lot of excitement. And then at an individual level, it's always like, okay, what am I going to do with it? And I think there's lots of firms out there that due to the fact that a lot of the .com names were taken up, did not get the most ideal name. And they're going to be able to improve and simplify their name as they move to this restricted, higher quality .cpa address.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And so, you know, a firm decides that they want this domain. They go through the steps to secure it. They activate it. And you mentioned marketing a few minutes ago. What are there next steps basically around communication and marketing and telling the world? I mean, how do they take advantage of it once it's in place?
Well, I think the way you do this is, as you said, you're first gonna do a redirect, then you're gonna put it into your email platform. I mean, Bill, you remember when I was CPA to Biz, right? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
You do. So guess what? You could still send me eric.auskerson@cpatobiz.com and I would respond to it. It comes in. So what you do is when you transition. Right, so you're going to there's going to be a lot of awareness broadly being built on .cpas. Firms move there, as state societies are very interested in this, as we as the AICPA and CPA.com make the broader marketplace aware of this, we're going to take steps to kind of help build a good surround sound related to what .cpa is. So then you will migrate away from your existing URL, which then you'll just take your existing URL and you'll redirect it, and you'll still you'll make your .cpa your primary email, but you'll still have your old email working. So that's it. So it's kind of initially your existing URLs will be primary, .cpa URL will be secondary. Then you'll flip those. And I think it's going to be a good symbol for the profession to be taking this step to provide a better way for CPAs to communicate with their clients. Think that's something that broadly we'll all feel good about. And that's basically what I think will happen over the next year. And like always, there's going to be some firms that move faster and they like to move fast, and they're going to play leadership roles, and that will be helpful also.
Yeah. Before we talked, Eric, I was just kind of like leafing through it's pages upon pages of top level domains that are available out there. I mean, there's just scores and scores and scores of them. You know, I noticed a few, like, for instance, there is a dot accountant out there, mm-hmm. and there is a dot finance and things like that. I mean, are there other domains that folks should be focusing in on and say, oh, I need that too? Or do you think .cpa is pretty much going to cover it for folks in the CPA driven profession?
I think we've taken a lot of steps to do this right, working with a lot of leaders in the domain category. And one clear step that we've taken is these eligibility requirements. And I think when you're running one of these new top level domains, to make it different, you need to have eligibility and verification in the verification process. Mm-hmm. And we clearly have that. And I think the other, you see a lot of leading brands like .aws, .vanguard, I mentioned, you know, .realtor, .mit, .nyc. So I think those are the ones that have defined communities. So on that long list, one of the most important things is to have a defined community, a process for eligibility. Like, obviously some of those, you know, .mit, they're just using it for the university. But you need to have a defined process on who receives it, and then make sure the marketplace is aware of that. We're with .cpa, it's very clear. We're a licensed and regulated profession, and it's going to go to licensed individuals, and that's going to really build trust in their communication with their clients. So to answer your question, I think some of those top level domains, if they don't have that vision, that process, that community, there's not going to be a lot of momentum or success in them. And that's what I think is defining the second generation of the internet is these defined trusted communities.
Nice. Eric, I mean, you know us, you know, we're all about helping the profession become more future ready. The name of the podcast is Future Proof, for God's sake. So how does something like this, .cpa, how does something like this help make our profession more future ready, do you think?
The profession provides trust. So I think this whole idea that you're exchanging very important information, it's going to always in a secure way if you're leveraging a CPA's portal, but everybody's working remote today. So you're leveraging your firm portals. You're doing a lot of, you know, communication with them electronically, and I think this makes us future ready by us putting in place a mechanism and controls. What do CPAs and firms always talk about? What controls are in place? There's controls here in place around .cpa that makes it future ready. So we've been working at this for many, many years. It took us a while for the AICPA to be successfully awarded .cpa. A lot of other people wanted it, and now we're getting it out. So, and we delayed it slightly due to the pandemic, but it's important to get it out this year when we're all, because we're all just living in this very, very highly digital world today. So this absolutely, this is core to the future. So it's perfect for your future proof podcast.
There you go. Well, Eric, thanks for your leadership on this. I know the profession has been looking forward to this for some time, so we appreciate all that you've done. And thanks for being here. Thanks for your insights. I appreciate your time.
Well, Bill, thanks for your leadership as well. I really appreciate how you get all of this high-quality information out to the firms and in our broader marketplace. So thank you.
Good stuff there. That was Eric Askerson, president and CEO of CPA.com. For more details about the .cpa domain, visit AICPA.org or CPA.com. Or more importantly, go to domains.cpa. That's domains, plural, .cpa. You might also want to check out a Journal of Accountancy article titled "A New Internet Domain for the CPA Profession, .cpa. Written by our guest, Eric Askerson. Just Google that title, you'll find it. Finally, don't forget this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now, right now, this minute, by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that is all I've got, gang. Have a great week. Talk to you again soon.